This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. The FDA has approved the first pill designed to treat postpartum depression. Details from CBS's Christopher Cruz.
In recent trials, the pill, taken daily for 2 weeks, significantly reduced the often crippling, sometimes life-threatening condition, which, as its name suggests, typically occurs after childbirth, but can also begin during the later stages of pregnancy. The effects of the pill lasted 4 weeks after the last dose. Until now, treatment for PPD was only available as an injection. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
CBS's Jim Krasula reports on major technology trouble at hospitals in several states.
A cyber attack is affecting facilities operated by Prospect Medical Holdings. It has hospitals and clinics in California, Texas, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Ambulances are having to be diverted, and things like elective surgeries and outpatient appointments have had to be canceled.
A day after his third appearance in court on criminal charges, former President Donald Trump delivers a speech to supporters in Montgomery, Alabama.
They want to interfere in my campaign. They want to interfere in the elections, a commonly used tactic in third world countries. That's where this tactic comes, third world, fourth world, fifth world countries.
Earlier in the day, Trump notified a federal court in Florida that he will not be attending his upcoming arraignment on a superseding indictment in the classified documents case and says his plea is not guilty. Police investigating the Gilgo Beach, New York murders have identified a possible seventh victim using DNA. CBS's Chanel Call reports that the victim has not been linked to Rex Huerman, who has been charged with killing three women.
Vergata is among 11 people found dead near Gilgo Beach. Most were escorts. Criminal defense attorney Joe Tamburino says there could be a connection.
And this could be a pattern, and possibly his first one, Ms. Vergata, is the same type of victim that we see in the other cases.
Things got out of hand this afternoon when thousands showed up in New York City's Union Square, climbing on top of cars and throwing punches, prompting a big police response. CBS's Lana Zack on why people gathered there.
Thousands descended on the park after popular Twitch star Kai Cenat, who has millions of followers online, promised free PlayStations to his fans.
Police report 65 arrests and say the influencer is going to be charged with multiple counts. Global prices for food commodities like rice and vegetable oil have risen for the first time in months after Russia ended a deal allowing Ukraine to ship grain and India restricted some rice exports. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization says that its index of food prices increased 1.3% in July over June. CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
hour.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And Grand Avenue in St. Paul or at cafelatte.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut gave me.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Destroying the earth here and now, and putting in really good practices.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of really good practices, I guess two days ago now, you were at Farm Fest. Is that what it's called, Farm Fest?
Yeah. Here in Minnesota, there is every year down in Redwood County, Minnesota, it's like a conference, you might say, of farmers and agricultural things. Like, it's like a mini state fair almost for agriculture. And so there's folks from all over the state come on this big field on somebody's farm, and there are exhibitors like crazy. And, you know, sponsors that are there. And then they have, you know, they have some events, but they also have discussion around what's happening in agriculture across the state. They always have, which I like, is the Farm Fest Woman Farmer of the Year Award. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that always honors the hardworking women farmers all across Minnesota. You know, they we do have women that are the primary farmer on their farm. You know, it's their farm. They don't have a man that has the, you know, does all the work. But they do that also with their partner, with their husband or whoever. And oftentimes they are doing, you know, double, triple responsibilities on the farms, raising children, taking care of the family, taking care of the home, getting out there and helping their husbands work off, you know, farm women work off the farm to make, you know, bring money into the farm that is secure. But this year there were five finalists for the FarmFest Women Farmer of the Year Award. There was a young woman named Carrie Olson. She grew up on the farm with her sisters and her dad, and she studied economics and agriculture and crop and weed science, and then she went back to her farm, and she's been working alongside her parents to transition into you know, a more productive but regenerative way of farming. Mm-hmm. Really, really great. I think it's Combat. She's from Owatonna. She is like, she's what I would call an elder farmer. She's been, you know, worked with her family growing up in Deerfield Township, went to a one-room country school, and she worked with her husband alongside her husband, but when he died in the 90s, she continued running that operation. She's 83 years old, and she still takes care of a lot of the farm business. And Debbie Morrison from Mora, she actually grew up in the Twin Cities, and she met her husband there, and he was an officer in the Navy, and they traveled all over the place. And then when they returned to the Twin Cities, she purchased and built a home, and they're restoring 40 acres of dormant hay fields to primitive prairie. And so they're doing a, you know, more of a restorative kind of agriculture. There was another young woman, Rochelle Krinke from Lester Prairie. And she grew also grew up on the farm. She was the third of five kids, and she was very active in 4-H and those sort of things. So she ended up marrying a farmer and never having milked a cow in her life. She and her husband are now dairy farmers. And Rachel Gray down in Black Dock, she grew up on the same farm that she's running today.
Cool.
And she has seen the change over time, and decided to be a teacher. But then after teaching for a number of years, she went back to farming, which, you know, like we say, you and I are both teachers, and we can bring I think we can see a lot of commonality in other professions. But working on a farm, herding cattle and taking care of things is very similar to an educator. So
herding cats.
Yeah, herding cats is more like it. So it was very interesting to listen and learn about these women. And there's a organization called 100 Rural Women here in Minnesota that work together and support each other. And it's just really fascinating when we look at, you know, women in agriculture, and we don't often hear about that.
Yeah, there's also been a push the last few years as BIPOC, too, in agriculture. Did you see any BIPOC people there at FarmFest? And I make FarmFest sound like a big rock concert, but it sounds very interesting. Is there a big push for BIPOC farms?
So there is a huge return on of folks of color getting into the agricultural world again. You know, when you think about the Black people that were brought over as slaves, and they worked hard in agriculture all those years of being slaves, and many of them became sharecrop holders afterwards. And, you know, just in many ways were pushed out of that. Right. And so there are dollars from USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, that, you know, will help to get women and farmers of color back on farms again. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was a little form that somebody gave me, and it's from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it's for farmers and ranchers, and it's some reparations for anyone of those that have experienced discrimination in the USDA farm lending practices.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there's $2.2 billion in funding that's available to farmers and ranchers who experience discrimination and prior to January 1st, 2021. And so those deadlines, the deadline for applying for those dollars is October 31st of 2023. Mm. So if, you know, there's folks out there listening who have experienced that, you know, I'm going to give Haley the number or the website, and you can post it on there. But yeah, there is a lot of, I didn't see a lot of folks of color. The woman who gave me this is actually from the USDA, and she's a woman of color. So,
yeah, awesome. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking to. I like to say the word potpourri of things today here on Native Roots Radio. We're always glad to have her on. And we're talking about just great things here in Minnesota and what's happening. You know, maybe, Mary, we can just touch a little bit about August 1st and what your take is on that, because I know there were lines at Red Lake Nation for that that dispensary they have up there, and see what you've heard. All right.
Okay. Sounds good. Great.
Right on. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Metro Transit is proud to offer the free use of IRA for transit trips, an app that connects blind and low-vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance. IRA can help you determine your location, read schedules, find your next transfer, navigate stations and platforms, and general trip planning, and is now available in Spanish. Learn more and download the app at aira.io. That's AIRA.io.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Great organization and a great national organization. They do work all over the Turtle Island, and they've been big supporters of Native Roots Radio from day one, so we just want to give them a big shout-out. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're talking, we're just catching up, and yeah, I think one of the vibe of our show is just having a laid-back discussion, and State Senator has been, and I always bring this up and kind of embarrass you, but you were the first politician that we ever had on years ago, and you kind of broke that door down for us, and I think made it comfortable for other politicians to come on. So really, I just got to give you a big peeny gee on that, and thank you. And thank you for remaining our guest here every week on Native Roots Radio. So thanks again.
You bet. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Hey, so August 1st happened, and you know, our relatives up at Red Lake had it going on. What have you gotten out of this, or what have you heard about the depository up in Red Lake? And I know they were way ahead of the game because they were into medical marijuana for those couple years prior to that.
Yeah, they were getting ready for August 1st in Minnesota to open up their dispensary up there. And, you know, by all accounts, even though it was a rainy, rainy day, it was very well organized, and there didn't seem to be, you know, much of any problems that I've heard about up there, other than they've had a really overwhelming response. And not just with their, you know, their in-person product, but their online order. I don't know. Have you heard about that? They had to maybe close down their online store so that they can support the in-person business.
No, I did not even know that they had an online store. That's really interesting, because we had Bob Blake on a couple days ago, and he's a Red Laker, and I always like to say Bob Blake from Red Lake.
Red Lake, yeah.
What's my problem? But I've known him and his family for a million years, and he did not mention that. He was talking about, you know, we talk a lot about sovereignty and how they were able to put it up on their land, and the differences between sovereignty and what that really means. You know, we're United States is sovereign to Germany and also to Red Lake Nation. And it's the same kind of government to government sovereignty that we talk about. And people don't always understand that.
That's for sure. You know, understanding treaties and the sovereignty, the sovereign rights, and the necessity for government to government collaboration, recognition, respect, authority is, you know, I hate to say it, it's sort of a new concept for a lot of people because it had been totally ignored for so long. So I'm glad you're talking about it.
Yeah, and you deal a lot with it, so it's awesome to see it in action, and that they're able to do these things and like put up a dispensary and it being somewhat celebrated in the state as opposed to these bad Indians doing bad things up north, right?
Right. Well, you know, and I think Minnesota has come a long way in just the last 7 years or so since I was elected into the legislature. But, you know, the fact that Governor Walz has insisted on all of the governmental entities, all the commissioners, all the agencies, the employees go through a tribal like education process so that they understand the rules and the laws and the respect that they're supposed to be showing the other the tribes. You know, it doesn't hurt to have Peggy Flanagan as our lieutenant governor, always reminding at the governor's level the necessity for it. But also, and we talk about this all the time, you know, how representation really matters, and the fact that we have three Native women in the House and me in the Senate, and we are constantly, I mean, I remember those first probably 4 years, always asking in all of our committees, have you consulted with the tribes on this? If it's something that's going to affect the tribes, and almost anything is going to Have you consulted with the tribes? Have you talked to your local communities, Native communities, about these things? And at first, they'd kind of look at us like, no, are you crazy? We never do that. And then, you know, they kept hearing it and hearing it. And eventually, they actually did start to do that more and more. And I think it also empowered the tribes to be proactive as well, where maybe before they didn't feel like they could come to the Capitol and be a part of the discussion, where now they're, you know, I see leaders and members there all the time during session, you know, almost in every committee, there's somebody sitting in there and listening and understanding that all those decisions not only affect, you know, Minnesota, but it also affects our tribal nations. And so it's been a really great progress over the last couple of years.
Really good point. And I think, State Senator, I've been to the Capitol more in the last probably 2 years than I had in the previous 10. And I think the only time I was there prior to that was for a protest and not visiting you in your office or listening to testimony and things like that on how the government works.
Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it can be really intimidating to come in and speak to an issue. You know, I think a lot of people see us all sitting up there and they're like, oh my gosh, these are, you know, elected officials, but we're just like anybody else. And, you know, most of us want to hear what you all have to say. Sometimes we don't always like what people say, but it certainly helps us have an informed decision when it comes to legislation.
Yeah, and I think people in your district, along with the state of Minnesota, it's pretty easy to come up and have a conversation with you. And mm-hmm. I think that's the more welcoming thing, too. I think in years past, maybe some of the politicians did stand a little taller than they might have should have been.
Yeah. Yes. And I think there's a change at the legislature, and we're trying to be much more welcoming and let folks know that no matter where you live in Minnesota, we really want to see you and hear from you. And I think it's a good positive change.
I do, too. And I don't know personally if there's been any kind of confrontational things happening at the Capitol per se with face-to-face legislators. There's probably disagreements, but I don't see it going over the top. But again, I'm not there every day like you are during session.
You know, that has really kind of changed, too, since I was elected. There were some legislators that would, you know, attempt to intimidate other legislators on the other side of the aisle. You know, the ones that kind of were loud and tall and big and intimidating women, especially some of our newer, younger women legislators. But back in the day when I was first elected, they fought back. The women fought back and called these guys out. And in fact, we ended up having one of the, you know, the worst, most biased members finally stepped over the, you know, over what's acceptable. And he ended up resigning because of that. And I think, again, that was another lesson. I mean, we sometimes have legislators that like to show us their guns and things like that. But they've kind of realized that there's a, like, it's not like it used to be where you could easily intimidate another legislator because there are repercussions. And I think the media plays a huge part of that because they're there, they're filming things, they hear things, they watch social media, and they'll pick up on it and, you know, make it a big deal, which is, you know, quite helpful.
Well, plus that you have social media and you have a camera, too. So that's got to help. I got to give a shout out to State Representative Jamie Becker-Finn, because I know when you were representative, I think there was a lot of harsh words to her prior to you being senator. And do you remember that? That was crazy.
Yeah. You know, Representative Becker-Finn speaks her mind and she speaks her truth, and she will call out those that, you know, either misrepresent information, out and out lie about it, or, you know, are trying to really do harm to not only our Native communities, but other communities. And so she is a force to be reckoned with. And again, if you've been, I hate to say it this way, but bitten by the snake.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
CBS News Brief. More help is on the way for women suffering postpartum depression. The FDA has approved a new pill. CBS's Alexander Tin.
Before today, postpartum depression only had IV injections as an FDA-approved option.
Hospitals and clinics in several states operated by Prospect Medical Holdings are targeted in a cyber attack. WFSB-TV's Audrey Russo reports from Waterbury, Connecticut.
The Connecticut Hospital Association tells us, quote, "We are monitoring the situation closely and are providing coordinating support." Support badly needed as patients had to be diverted from ECHN hospitals to other emergency rooms.
Senator Tommy Tuberville introduces former President Trump at a Republican Party dinner in Montgomery, Alabama, and mentions recent indictments.
It is going to be a fight for the next year and a half. We have got to fight back. We have got to help this president. We got to get encouraging.
Trump tells the crowd that when an indictment is filed, he goes way up in the polls. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit. Because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge. By cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me. And I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bar.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So, if you're high, just don't drive.
Cup here. You're
there you go.
Mute there.
I was on mute. That was my bad. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And they had a nice ceremony, a full moon ceremony for women just two days ago. And we always have Dr. Stately on, too, to talk about what's going on in the avenue and what's going on medically with us. And I don't know if you heard this, State Senator, but I've read this a couple different places in the last couple days that COVID's coming back in a different strain, and they're going to have a booster come fall. So that's a kind of gives me a pause.
Yeah. Actually, it's so interesting because I was just looking at a text from my daughter. She went to a retreat for work and came back because they had everybody do a quick test before they went into this big group meeting, and she tested positive.
Whoa.
For COVID. So she came back, and her dad is out of the country, so nobody's at his house. So she's over there. And so we're talking about daycare because her little girl is in daycare and she's supposed to come over tomorrow. And do I want to take her? Should they test her? But I did hear that there is another strain that's coming out, and that we will probably all want to get boosted again or by the fall time, because it just keeps morphing. You know, once we get it under control, it seems to morph into something else.
Well, let's be clear. We never got it under control because we had half the country listening to somebody that was out of his mind about, even though he got a vaccine, he was telling everyone else not to get a vaccine. So, darn it, that stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to be angry when you have almost a million citizens of the United States die over this, and still popping up in different variances, as you said.
Yeah, and I mean, knock on wood, but I haven't had it yet.
You know, I was just going to ask you that. Haley, have you had it?
Geez, a couple of years ago, I did. You know, I did test positive once, and it was a mild strain. But ever since I did have it, I've been coming up with, like, my test results, like, immune compromised. So I don't know. Yeah, so hopefully I don't get it again because,
And Wendy had it, and I didn't have it. And we were at the same function where we do believe Wendy got it. And it was funny. It was in New York, State Center. It was in New York at a family function. Nobody had it up to that point. And Wendy and I were both there, and she got it and then had to stay in New York for another week. And I did not get it. I don't know. I always say that I'm going to just... because I never got sick either as a high school teacher, but I would bring it home to her, and maybe I was a carrier, and, you know, she'd get a cold, and we didn't know where it was from, but I don't know if there's such a thing, but I just feel like one day I'm just going to drop dead because I never do get sick.
You know, that's so interesting. I too rarely was sick when I was teaching, and I never got the flu shot. I've never had a flu shot.
Well, and I had to be convinced. Can I tell you a story about the flu shot? So I always thought, well, that's a different strain and blah, blah, blah. But Wendy explained it to me. And, you know, everybody here that listens, Wendy was a MTM pharmacist for, you know, 30 years and in the medical field. So I listened to her when she brings up stuff like that. But what made sense to me about the flu shot was this, after she explained it to me, and it was that you're not so much getting a flu shot for the strain this season, so to speak, because a lot of times you'll hear, oh, it's only 40% effective, blah, blah, blah. You're getting it for the long haul. So it's for different strains. So I get a shot this time. It's for another strain, possibly this strain. So it's protecting me in the future, too. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I don't know if I was what would be called an anti-vaxxer, but I never really thought twice about getting a flu shot until about 15 years ago. And so I don't know. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. That makes perfect sense. You know, and I, you know, my parents brought us up with sort of natural healing. I think mostly because they couldn't afford to get us to the doctor. But my mom used a lot of the practices of the old time, you know, gargle with salt water. If you have a headache, go lay down, a cough, you know, honey and lemon, all of those things. And I don't remember, I come from this really large family, and I don't remember us really getting sick. I mean, we had chicken pox together, but, you know, not getting really sick. But we, you know, if you read about it, getting kids outside, letting them play in the dirt, build up that natural immunity that we have, you know, in nature. And when we were growing up, we grew up in a little town that where the Mississippi River and the Watab Creek met. So we played all summer long. We were outside, you know, running up and down the creek, playing in the river. There were farms all around us. We were in the thick of it the whole time. And so in some, and my family doesn't get real, real sick. I mean, they've had COVID and, you know, maybe some other ailments, but in general, we're a really pretty healthy group of people. And so I really do believe in that natural immunity. Like kids get out there and dig in the dirt and eat a worm and, you know, play in the water, the and you know, build it up in a natural way. But I don't know. Things are just different.
We were always out too, and we went up to the lake every weekend and, you know, things like that. And I know there was many, many, many summers for me that I didn't wear shoes all summer.
No.
You know, and now it's like my delicate feet. I need slippers in the house.
Oh my gosh. I remember getting terrible, terrible poison ivy though. That I do remember. And it would be like between our toes and at night it would just drive us nuts. But we went shoeless a lot of the time.
And that's a good thing, and that's a native thing too, to get close to Mother Earth. And I think people talk about healing, and I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I know if you're not feeling good, the best medicine is to go barefoot out in your backyard or outside or somewhere.
Go lay down on the, you know, in the grass, or you know, go to the water. The water is really my healing kind of place. So,
yeah, absolutely. So we got some more time here in the segment, and I'm wondering what do you got going in the next week or so?
Yeah. Well, tonight I get to do a walk on for our local community play that's being put on.
What?
It's Newsies. So it's the Disney's movie about you know, the newspaper, and it actually has a lot of good lessons around unions and things like that. And so I got invited to do a walk-in spot. So I'm going to go do that this evening. And, you know, next week is sort of a, it seems like it's going to be a quiet week, but I always have a way to fill it in. My daughter's going to have her food truck at Irish Fest, so I promised to go help her 2 days prep food for that. But I have a cousin. Her name is Mona Susan Power, and she has a new book coming out. And so she's going to have like a book signing and whatever at Birch Bark on Tuesday night. So I'm going to get over there. We went up to, we drove up to Palisade this past weekend. There was one of our relatives passed away. And so my sisters and I and Mona Susan went up there to pay our respects. And she gave me one of her books. So I've been reading it. I've just been letting myself read a little bit every day. Otherwise, I think I would sit down and read it. There's a lot of family threads in there, shall we say that. And I love her writing. I love her books. Her first book was The Grass Dancer. But this might be my favorite.
Hey, so let me just jump in here really quick because we only have a couple minutes left. And the Irish Fest, is that down in Harriet Island?
I think so.
Yeah, it usually is at Harriet Island in St. Paul. So if you're in the Twin Cities, I got the Irish Fest, and you might run into State Senator Mary Kunish. And, I mean, I'm still a little stunned about your daughter having COVID, but we got to get out there.
It's not that one. It's not that one. It's the other one.
Right. Yes. The one that introduced Bernie Sanders at the
That's Eliane. Yep.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, and then we always tell the story about how you got going, and your daughters helped you jump into this avenue and we're really this venue and really happy that you have first become state representative of your area and now state senator of the great state of Minnesota. And so we're grateful for your daughters.
Yeah, I am too. I am too. And I have my son. So, you know,
he's your favorite. I know. You won't say anything to your daughter.
Yeah. Family's just great. I just have to say that for sure.
And then I just remember your son too, when we'd run into each other, he had long hair at the time and then he finally got it cut because of a wedding coming.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah, his buddy's like, hey, you got to cut your hair, pal. I was like, thank you. Thank you for making him do that.
Exactly. Well, hey, thank you for being on, State Senator. And any last, we got a minute here. We got any last updates or you want to give any shout outs to anyone? I mean, you have some great colleagues out there.
I just want to really thank the folks at Farm Fest for all the good work that they did out there. It was very friendly in the past. You know, we might have seen some of our past president supporters, but, that was a little intimidating and off-putting, but this time around, it really felt friendly and supportive. And I want to thank Eric Putnam, who was the chair in Senate. He's a professor up in St. John's University, and he was assigned chair of agriculture, and he's done an outstanding job of it. So kudos to him.
Well, and kudos to our government helping out our farmers. And we always have to remember DFL, Democratic Farmer Labor. Hopefully that will come back in a good way. And it sounds like it's in a good direction, State Senator.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, we'll be back with Wendy with our sacred animal section. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Metro Transit is proud to offer the free use of IRA for transit trips, an app that connects blind and low vision customers to a live agent for navigation assistance. IRA can help you determine your location, read schedules, find your next transfer, navigate stations and platforms, and general trip planning, and is now available in Spanish. Learn more and download the app at AIRA.io. That's AIRA.io. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
In this critical time for Indian country, voting is crucial to protecting the land, water, and communities. Voting creates collective power in securing our planet's future amid climate chaos. Engage in personal conversations with loved ones to ensure they are making informed voting choices. Register to vote. And don't forget that 16 and 17-year-olds can pre-register to vote in Minnesota. NACDI is asking us to stand together and make voting a tradition. Go to NACDI.org to learn more and make your pledge to vote.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1, U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. I was going to say, we're neighbor, Wow, Wendy, welcome to Neighborhood Radio. Native Roots Radio here on AM 950. Hey, it's a Fun Fact Friday with Wendy. So this portion is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hello!
It's always as good to start out the first segment with a little mess up, just to prove that I'm human, Wendy.
Absolutely. We're all human.
Right on. Hey, so I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she solves problems at her house, too, by the way, if you guys need any help with that. But you're animal advocate, and welcome.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hana Jingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And it's always my pleasure to do that. And you know what, Robert? Sometimes I follow my own advice.
Oh.
So, yeah, last week I was talking about, you know, it's so hot and how we can help the animals outside, that one of the things was to put a bowl outside, a shallow bowl with either marbles or rocks in it with some water, so that the bees and you know, little critters would go on the little rocks and drink the water instead of drowning in the water. So I did that. And what did I get? I got a picture of
A bee
drinking the water, standing on a rock.
It's probably fermented and the bees buzzed.
And the other thing I was talking about on the radio was how someone shredded an apple and put it in a shallow bowl with a little bit of water, because at the end of the season, at the end of the summer, there's a lot of dead flowers and the bees are looking for sugar. They're running out of sugar. So I put a shallow bowl out with a shredded apple in it. I added a little bit of water, and guess what? I took a picture of just momentarily before we did the segment.
A bee and a fly drinking
the juice. Yeah. So the bees will land on the fruit and drink the sugar that they need for energy from the apple, but they'll also get water. So yeah.
Not only are we supporting our native nations all over the Turtle Island, we're also supporting Insect Nation.
Absolutely. We need insects.
That's right.
We need insects. Do you remember that bat that I brought to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center last year? God. So a friend of mine.
Was that a year? That was more than a year ago.
Might have been. So a friend of mine just put a post up on Facebook that he got a bat that needed help, and it was anybody available to bring it to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center here in Rosedale, Minnesota. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go pick up the bat. And I picked up the bat and brought it in. But they said that the bat died of starvation because there's not enough insects, because that's what the bats eat. And because so many people use so many pesticides to kill all the bugs, there's not enough bugs for the bats. So
what's really exciting before you get on, Wendy, just look out our window. I was talking about this the last couple of days and just watching all the bees in the garden that you made, and all the butterflies.
There's a lot of butterflies out there, and we get a lot of monarchs also. So our front yard is, we have no lawn. We have a prairie garden, and it's all native Minnesota plants that attract bees, butterflies, hummingbirds, and
again, we're supporting Insect Nation.
We are. We need them.
I need a t-shirt.
It's an ecosystem. It's an ecosystem. But hey, you know, I was talking about the fact site. That's what I'm on. It's hashtag the fact site, and it's 300 random animal facts. And we've been
500.
It's 300, and we started from 300, and we're working our way to number one. And I'm looking for the paper I just wrote the guy's name down on. But anyway, I'm going to start at this might be one that I've mentioned before, but it's very interesting. Male dogs will raise their legs while urinating to aim higher on a tree or lamppost because they want to leave the message that they are tall and intimidating. Some wild dogs in Africa try to run up trees while they are urinating to appear very large.
That explains my drinking days.
Uh-oh. The starfish is the only animal capable of turning its stomach inside out.
Ick.
I know, that's nasty, gross. Right? Birds can recognize landmarks, which they use to help them navigate. So they'd be like, wow. Oh, there's the pilot's house. They always have nice food in their backyard, and they always have fresh water. Let me go over there. But we just got a new roof put on our house from Snap Construction. I wanted to snap. Well, anyway, they did a fantastic job, and we're very happy.
Yeah, we cross-promoted there. That was brilliant.
I know, isn't that? Ferrets can sleep around 20 hours a day. There's only 24 hours in a day, and they sleep for 20 of them. Sounds like me.
That's weird. You don't know if they're sick or not. It's just like they're supposed to be sleeping that long.
I know. Let's see here. Only 5 to 10% of cheetah cubs make it to adulthood.
What?
Yeah, say that again. Only 5 to 10% of cheetah cubs make it to adulthood. That's a hard life. That's a really hard life. This is kind of nasty. A starving mouse will eat its own tail.
Oh.
I know. The average chicken lays about 260 eggs per year. But when they pump them up with those hormones at the factory farm, it's probably double. Did you know that squirrels cannot see the color red? I wonder how they tested that. They had all different color, like peanuts, like, and they didn't see the red one. They walked by it.
Maybe they spray painted a peanut red.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't see it, but he would have smelt it, I guess. A large group of goats is called a
gaggle. A gaggle of goats.
No, a herd.
That was a trick question.
No. The most popular female dog name is, do you want to guess? Female dog name. Yeah.
Fido? What?
Female. Maggie. And the most popular and the most popular male dog name is
Brutus.
Max.
Oh,
yeah.
I believe that.
An elephant's trunk has around 15,000 muscles. 200 liters of water is drunk from it per day. But you know what? People think that the elephant uses their tusk as like a straw, but they don't. They suck up the water and then they squirt it in their mouth.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, people think that they use their tusk as a straw.
They've been watching.
That's false.
Cartoons and go gophers.
Hey, we do the animal facts here. You should know that. You can tell a turtle's gender by the noise it makes. Males, this should be for humans too. Males grunt and females hiss.
Oh God, yes. Let me just say.
Yeah, this is a sad one. But I will end on a happy note. 1 million stray dogs and 500,000 stray cats live in New York City metropolitan area. So we all need to adopt, do not shop.
Jeez.
Okay, we were talking about this before. A bat can eat up to 1,000 insects per hour.
Hour. Wow.
Stop using pesticides.
Right.
Right?
Let those, I know, they eat mosquitoes.
Okay, listen to this and see if you could guess what it is. Taurophobia is the fear of?
Horses.
Close. Bulls.
Oh, Toro.
Toro. Yeah, bulls.
Bulls, I should have thought that through. That makes sense.
The hippopotamus is born underwater.
Every time I hear that word, I think of
Hippopotamus?
Impossumus. Wasn't that from Wizard of Oz? Something like that? I don't know. It's Fun Fact Friday. Ho.
All right. This is a fun fact, but important to know if you have a dog. Small quantities of grapes and raisins can cause renal failure in dogs.
Oh.
So they should not eat grapes and they should not eat raisins.
Got about 30 seconds.
Oh, a rodent's teeth never stop growing. When young abalones feed on red seaweed, their shells turn red.
Hey, I want to thank
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag CivicPints. Give blood and you could get a prize too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bar.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.